Well, it's great to see all of you here tonight as we look once again in the book of Revelation. I don't know if any of you watched a news article this past week that talked about a great solar flare, a big piece, a chunk that came off of the burning sun out there in orbit. As soon as I read that, saw it, looked at the video of it with scientists not being able to figure out what on earth created such a great tear of the sun, but immediately I remember Jesus' words. He said, there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so every day it seems like that we see things that are happening, that are taking place. Last Wednesday evening, we talked about Babylon. Let me just say this. In Mark Hitchcock's book, he believes that the city of Babylon will one day be rebuilt. He believes there where it was pretty much desecrated back many hundreds of years ago. Others believe that it will be rebuilt, but it will be rebuilt in a different area over there. Let me just say this, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 13, according to chapter 50 and 51 of the book of Jeremiah, it speaks about the city of Babylon being destroyed and no inhabitants living there. Let me say that had both an ancient revelation to that as well as a future revelation, for the city of Babylon was destroyed. And we read that in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. But there's coming a day when the city is going to be rebuilt, the city of Babylon, from which I believe the Antichrist, the one world dictator, the head of the one world government, where will be his headquarters, and I believe it will also be the commerce center of the world, not Wall Street in New York City, even though there are those who believe it will be in New York City. Some believe it will be in Rome, various places. But wherever it is located, and I do believe it will be somewhere over by the Euphrates River, somewhere in that area, that will be the headquarters, I believe, in the commerce center of this one world future dictator that's coming. Now, we're going to read something in here about the harlot, riding upon this beast. What we're going to be looking at is the religious center of the world. Now, most believe that the religious center of the world will be in Rome. And of course, the Catholic Church will play a great role, I believe, in the end of times and end time events. And it was prophesied many years ago in the Catholic diocese that there would be a pope that would deflect from the faith. And so with all of that said, let's look at this Babylon for tonight. Now, we looked at chapter 7 pretty much, but I want to go back over chapter 7 before we enter into chapter 8, the doom of Babylon. Then one of the seven angels, remember these are the last seven plagues that God sends upon this earth. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. And that word harlot is referring to this world system of this religious system of the world one of these days, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality. And it's speaking about spiritual adultery. And he says, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman. Notice this, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, I want to stop there for just a few moments and let's look at this woman sitting on a scarlet beast. It appears that during this period of future biblical prophecy, that this harlot will be a false religion out in the world, will be led by a false prophet. It will be a conglomerate, and I read about that this week, about this one world religion where people unite themselves into this false system of religion. It will be an amalgamation, various cults, various religions from around the world will be amalgamated into one false world religion. Now, it appears from these verses that this false prophet, this harlot church, speaking about spiritual adultery. Spiritually, it will not be the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be a church that will be filled with all kinds of cultic practices, religious themes, ideas. It will be one of spiritual adultery in which the kings of the earth will participate in this. Now, notice it says that this woman here, by the way, when you and I see woman, it's really interesting in the Bible. There is the woman that gave birth to the child. And of course, that was Mary, the mother of Jesus. We see that in the Bible as a woman. Other places in the Bible, we see a woman that refers to the nation of Israel. There are other places that we see that the church is called the bride of Christ. Now, in this particular passage here, this woman in verse 3, sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, notice that it looks like that this false world leader of this false world religion for a while has some kind of sway over the one world dictator, the Antichrist, in that until that person is well into the grooves of society, if you please, that this one world false leader of this world false religion will have some sway to some degree over this Antichrist, but that will be short-lived. At the end of the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will no longer have that woman will no longer have any sway whatsoever on the great world dictator, for he himself will set himself up to be worshiped as God himself. Verse 4 says, the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Do you notice that purple and scarlet were colors of fabrics that were worn by the great, the rich, the wealthy, the elites of the world in ancient biblical times. But also, I want you to notice the connotation there whenever we see in the Roman Catholic Church. We see all the things of the pompous display of wealth and the purple and the scarlet. Notice it says, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. Folks, let me tell you, in the world that you and I live in today, we've never seen anything compared to the days that are coming upon this world. I mean, in that false world religion, anything and everything will go. It will be an abomination. There will be an abomination, this immorality, this spiritual adultery. Verse 5 says, and on her head a name was written. Now notice this, a mystery. Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth. Mystery Babylon, this one world religion that is symbolic here by using a woman riding this scarlet beast, representing the false world religion of the world. And notice on her forehead a name was written, a mystery. And here's what was written: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now, we have said that in chapter 17 here of the book of Revelation, this will be the one world religious church that will be in play during these days. This will be the religious center of the world. And I believe, based upon prophetic scripture and based upon what we read from many of the Bible scholars who take the view that we are taking in the study of the book of Revelation, they believe that the religious center will be in Rome, Rome, Italy. And so chapter 17, while it's about the city where, or this Babylonius, this mystery Babylon religion will be the center, the center of commerce and the center of the Antichrist place will be in Babylon, the city that will be rebuilt. So you have a religious center in one area of this in latter days, and you have a commercial center with the Antichrist in another place. Notice verse 6, and I saw the woman. Now, the woman is speaking about this one world adulterous church, this one world false cultic religion. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. What on earth does that mean? It means that many of these people that would be followers of Jesus, they're going to be martyred for their faith. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. Notice John says, when I saw her, I wondered greatly. Verse 7 says, and the angel said to me, why do you wonder? And notice what the angel says to John, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. Verse 8 says, the beast that you saw. Now, remember, Scripture oftentimes interprets Scripture, so we don't have to wonder about this. Verse 8 says, the beast that you saw was and is not. It is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. The beast that was and is not, remember, the Antichrist will have a mortal, fatal wound, and he will not be, and then he will be resurrected. Notice this. And those who dwell on the earth, the phrase, next phrase is hugely important, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Now, I want to look at two things there. Whose names has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. It sounds pretty obvious there. You know, you do know God keeps books, right? You do know that he's the great accountant of all time. He has books that the lost dead will be judged out of because they assume that their works are what will get them to heaven someday. So they will be judged out of the books, which there is no work. We sang a few moments ago that wonderful old hymn, "We'll Work Till Jesus Comes, We'll Work." I sat over there and I could not help but reflect, go back in my mind. Sharon sang so beautifully a song I love this morning when she sang, "I Love You, Lord," in Sunday school in the same old-fashioned way. And I thought as she sang that song this morning, my mind, as one guy used to say it, just reminisced I don't know if there is such a word as reminiscied, but I sat over there and reminisced through the years. And I thought about those days of growing up. We used to sing, "We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work." Ken led us in a song tonight. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. As I sat there, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and my dad's mother and father were very involved in the church. My grandfather was a deacon in that church for some 50 years, and I used to sit by them in church. And I can hear my grandmother singing, "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary." As we sang those songs, I love those songs, don't you? They remind me of the past, but they also remind me of a place in the future. Now, right here in this passage, "and those who dwell on the earth, whose names has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." Many Bible scholars say that our names, those who will trust in Christ, their names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now he says, "and those who dwell on the earth whose names has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast that he was." Remember, he was alive during this time and is not. He has a fatal wound that's given to him. And then he's resurrected and will come. Now, notice, if you will, in verse 9. "Now the angel is saying to John, here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." Do you remember that history tells us the head of the seven mountains is where Rome sits? The seven heads, and the number seven, of course, is biblical numerology for completion. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, it sounds to me like that this is speaking about Rome. It sounds to me like this is speaking about the church at Rome. It sounds to me like this is a connotation to Catholicism. Now, notice, if you will, in this verse, verse 10, "and they are seven kings, five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction." Now that sounds a little bit complex. Let's talk about it. In the end of time, there are going to be a 10 league nation worldwide, that the world is going to be divided up into 10 various kingdoms, ruled or run by 10 various leaders of the world. If you will remember, the Antichrist, he overcomes three of those. That leaves seven. Okay? Now, those other seven, of which he is one, according to this, and becomes the eighth, that he will, those other leaders will eventually give their power over to the Antichrist, where he's in control of the entire world. So the beast which was and is not, we're talking about the Antichrist, is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven. Seven of those kingdoms are still going to be run by seven leaders that have not given up their power to the Antichrist at this particular point. He's overtaken three of the ten, so there's seven left. Of the seven, notice it says, and also he's an eighth and is one of the seven. So he becomes the eighth in the sense that he overtakes control of the power of these others. And notice verse 11 says, and he goes to destruction. Verse 12, the ten horns which you saw, the angel saying to John, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom. As of right now, they've not received their kingdom, okay? But they receive authority as kings with the beast, the Antichrist, for 1 hour. Wow. For only 1 hour, they will receive this authority according to what this says. Verse 13, these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. Now, do y'all understand that as much as you and I can understand it? Okay, ten kingdoms throughout the world. The world will be divided up one of these days among ten kingdoms. I've mentioned before that, as I understand it, America, Canada, and Mexico are one of those ten kingdoms. So the world will be divided into 10 kingdoms. Some way the Antichrist maneuvers three of those kings to get them out of his way. And so now there's seven kingdoms that will be left. And he's one of the seven according to this. But he becomes the eighth one because they will give over their power to him, their authority, and they only have power and authority for 1 hour, according to verse 12. These have one purpose. What's their purpose? They give their power and authority to the beast. So when that happens, guess what? He's the one fully in charge. Verse 14, these will wage war against the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Who's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ. So these will wage war against the Lamb. Remember when Christ comes back with the host of heaven and this great war has taken place in the Holy Land over there, and as they're fighting against the nation of Israel and they're gathered there in that battle, when Jesus steps out into the clouds to come back to this earth, they will garner their forces with each other to try to take care of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Okay, are you still with me? Verse 14, and the Lamb, Jesus, will overcome them. Why? Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him, those that are with the Lord, the King of kings, Lord of lords, those that know him, those that are with him, are the called and chosen and faithful. They are the called and chosen and faithful. Notice it goes on and says in verse 15, and he said to me, who said to me? The angel speaking to John. And he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, that's the woman, this world false religion, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits, what are these waters? Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Remember, out of the sea of people comes this one world leader. So we are given here that the waters which you saw on this harlot, this riding the beast, these waters are representing the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues of the world. Look in verse 16. And the 10 horns, horns represents power, authority, and the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot. Now notice how they'll turn against this world false religion. Who will? Those 10 kings that have given up all their power to the Antichrist and the Antichrist. And the 10 horns, those kings, which you saw, and the beast, that's the Antichrist, these will hate the harlot. That's Mystery Babylon, this harlot church, this church of the last days of immorality, this church that's a false, cultic, amalgamated world religion based upon all kinds of false religions and cultic practices. These will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. In other words, they totally just eliminate this one world false leader in that church as leading the way. And then notice verse 17, for God has put, get this, for God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. Let me tell you, God is a sovereign God. God's in control. God will use whomever God chooses to use, whom he has created in this world, for his elective purposes to fulfill his plans for this world. And guess what? He doesn't have to call down and ask if it's okay. He's God. Let me tell you, for God has put it in their hearts. Remember when we looked at Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 about the Gog and Magog war that will eventually come, and God, and it says that God put hooks in their mouths to draw them out to that war. Let me tell you, people don't understand that God is an awesome sovereign of the universe. He's fully in control tonight. I can assure you of that. He knows exactly what's happening in the skies. He knows exactly who's floating the balloons up there. And let me tell you, he's not at all worried. He's got it all in the palm of his hands. No wonder the Bible says he sits in the heavens and laughs. Can you only imagine this world? Oh, they're riving up all their anti-nuclear warheads. They're gearing up their bioweaponry out there, thinking they're the ones that are in charge. The Bible says they're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. He sits in the heavens and he laughs. Let me tell you, if God would take the Assyrians, who were a wicked, vile, cruel, heinous, paganistic, heathenistic group of people in ancient biblical days, to bring against his own 10 southern tribes of Israel because they went into idolatrous practices and spiritual wickedness and spiritual adultery, if he would take that group of people to go and take into captivity those 10 tribes of Israel And 100 years later, the other two southern tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, the tribes of Judah, they didn't learn from their brothers. And 100 years later, guess who God used this time? The godless Babylonians. Can you understand why Babylon is such an important name in biblical prophetic scripture? God used the Assyrians. God used the Babylonians. God will put in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom, these 10 kings, God has a common purpose in that, to give their kingdom to the Antichrist until the words of God will be fulfilled. Verse 18, the woman, the angel says to John, the woman whom you saw is the great city. There's that word great again, all throughout the book of Revelation, which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now that woman is speaking of this mystery religion of the world. The woman whom you saw is the great city. It will be the city of the religious center of the world in ancient from future days to come during the days of the tribulation. So, chapter 17 of the book of Revelation is speaking about this Babylonish, this one world religion, and where it's going to be centered. God is a God of times and places. God is a God who has everything strategically place in order. And chapter 17 is, remember when we spoke about the word Babylon? It's a two-system thing. One of them is the false world religion, the mystery Babylon, this false world religion. That's all about chapter 17. Where will it be? It looks like it's going to be in the city of Rome. Rome was built on seven hills, if you remember your ancient history. And so the religious center of the world, the dictates, the mandates will be centered, I believe, in the city of Rome. And then the other part of this two Babylon system will be the commerce system. It will be, I believe, the headquarters of the Antichrist. And we'll look at that on Wednesday night in chapter 18, which will be the city of Babylon will be rebuilt somewhere, I believe somewhere in that area, and it will be the place where the Antichrist, who will be filled with Satan incarnate, I mean, one of the reasons I believe it will be in that Euphrates area somewhere is based upon that's where the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis first started out. Man trying to become his own God. And folks, if you don't think that's happening in the world today, you are sadly not myth-taken, but sadly mistaken. I can assure you, there are people in the world already. That's why they meet in Switzerland once or twice a year, where Klaus Schwab is leading up the WEF, the World Economic Forum, what they're trying to do is garner the forces of the world of the globalist elite to bring forth a one world government. And that will eventually be run by this beast in the book of Revelation, this one world dictator, this one world Antichrist that's coming one of these days. And then when I listen to Dr. Uvalde Herrera, Oh my. I just shook my head almost in disbelief. I listened to 8 hours of documentation this past week on that. He speaks about that we can be gods ourselves. We don't need a divine God up there. And once again, I bowed my head and said, God, you're laughing in the heavens at this idiot. I don't care how much knowledge he thinks he has. He's ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Folks, let me tell you, this world's in a mess. And I'd be fearful if it were not for one thing. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we pause tonight, thank you once again for the great opportunity that we've had to come together to unite our hearts and to study your word. And Father, to lay down scripture alongside of world news to see where this world is headed, where this world is going, and where this world presently is. Thank you, God, for the truths of the book of Revelation. Even though there are those who believe it's already passed back in AD 70, God, I realize according to your word, they've missed a lot in the Bible because much of what has been predicted has not happened. And it will happen because you are the God of promise. Father, I pray you would continue to bless us in our studies together. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to glean from the fields of Scripture, oh God, truths, precepts, prophetic passages, everyday wisdom, practical living, lives filled not with fear, because Satan is the author of confusion. In a world that's filled with fear, you're not the author of fear. You've not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. May our minds remain sound, O God, as we continue to proclaim, as watchmen on the wall, to proclaim to this world what your word says about the final days of life. God, help us. God, remind us each day that life is temporary here. It's brief. But eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever without end. Thank you, Holy God. Thank you, precious Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving us a peace that surpasses all human understanding, and help us grow in the truths of your word. In Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.